Resurgence would like to present a five-part audio series by Mark Driscoll titled Preaching and Teaching Jesus, taken from an Acts 29 regional luncheon in September 2006.
Lord God, we begin by acknowledging that you are a sovereign and good God, that you are a living God, that you are the only God, and that you are a speaking God who speaks to us. And by grace, you are also our God. And so, God, we want to hold your word in exceedingly high regard, knowing that it is the primary means by which you speak to us. And so, God, we ask that you would give us the Holy Spirit to enable us to understand what the Bible says, to love what the Bible tells us to love, to hate what the Bible tells us to hate, namely sin. And God, to bring us to a position of humility and dependence on you and deep, profound, life-changing affection for the Lord Jesus. God, we pray that the word would so burn within us as we hear from you, empowered by your Spirit to understand, that we would be like Jeremiah, that we would be compelled to teach and preach, that your word would be like a fire in our bones, and that we would be unable to constrain ourselves, proclaiming who you are and what you have done. And so, God, as we enter into this very important discussion of how we can perhaps more effectively preach and teach about Jesus from the Bible, we are mindful of the words of James 1:5, which say that if we lack wisdom, to ask for it. So, God, we're asking for wisdom. And, God, we're mindful of Paul's words to young Timothy, that the word is to be preached. And so, God, we know that there is an increasing need throughout our country for good, solid, biblical teaching. God, we are not opposed to music. We are not opposed to media. But, God, nothing comes with the authority and the transforming power of your word. May we not substitute anything for the teaching of the Bible. May we preach the word, and may you give us wisdom to do so. We ask this in Jesus' good name. Amen. I will close with just a couple practical suggestions. Beginning on page 8. One, read the biography of great preachers. Right? Read their biographies. Have dead mentors. They're the best. They won't disappoint like the living ones. Read Spurgeon versus the hyper-Calvinists. Read the forgotten Spurgeon. Read about Chrysostom. Right? Read about Luther and Calvin, not just their theological ministry, but their Bible preaching and teaching ministry as pastors in local churches. Read Martin Lloyd-Jones, Preachers and Preaching. Read, Bicknell, Light and Heat, A Puritan View of the Pulpit. He does an overview of Puritan preachers and their preaching. Ask yourself, how did they study? How did they live? What was their library like? What did they do on Saturday night if they had to preach on Sunday morning? How did they involve their family? What did this do to their health? What kind of demonic attacks did they come under to be preachers? Their biographies are great because you can read the sermons, but you don't know the man and the life and the family and the suffering behind the sermon. Biographies are so helpful. So helpful. Beware of radio preachers, my second point. Radio preachers preach to the United States of America. And they're great. I love them. I'm not banging radio preachers. But I am saying they're not telling you about themselves, their family, their kids. They're not speaking to their city, their people. They're using general illustrations. They're speaking about American culture. They're preaching to America. You're preaching missionally to your people in the congregation. And if you echo the radio preacher, you'll be preaching to America. You'll preach right over your people. Beware of sermons for sale. Golly, you can buy sermons. I mean, this is horrible. You can buy a sermon. Which means if you are a preacher who doesn't have time to read the Bible, that's okay. You don't need to repent of sin, study, wrestle with the text. You don't need to figure out the gospel and come to theological convictions for your people. You can buy ours. And they'll work for every church in America, which means there's no theology in them whatsoever. What? I mean, this is ridiculous. This is like somebody saying, too busy to date your wife? We'll do that for you. It's like, that's the best part of the whole deal, is going out. I like it when she gets dressed up and we go out. Preaching is the best part of the job. Teaching the Bible, studying is the best. That's the best part of the job. And to say, well, I don't have time for that. No, Acts 6 says you devote yourself to prayer and scripture study. Those are your highest two priorities. Prayer to set your heart, scripture to connect with the Lord through what he has to say. You know, I mean, there are guys that are buying sermons. I cannot believe that. I'm not saying don't listen to other preachers to learn on how they preached a sermon. You say, I'm going through Jonah. I want to go download Piper and Keller, and maybe Robbie Zacharias did a series on it, and they're all great guys, and praise be to God, and I want to see how they did it because I want to learn. I'm all for that. But you get in the Bible. You wrestle with God. You repent of sin. You come to your own conclusions. You check it by the commentators to make sure you're not a heretic. You get up before your people, and you speak to them on behalf of God. That's preaching. There was one church not far from here. It died. A buddy of mine who's an Assemblies of God pastor and a great guy got given the building. And he said, why do you think this church died? Why do you think nobody's coming? I said, I don't know. We got up on the stage. He'd just been given the building. The pastor's pulpit was right there. And the sermon outline was there downloaded from Yahoo. Right? This guy would download sermons from Yahoo and read them. And God killed the church. Well, yeah, I'm glad. I mean, you know, well, today we'll be in 2 Yahoo chapter 11. It's like, what the heck? A couple other things I would say. Study the stand-up comics. They're the only other guys that get on a stage, speak for an hour, right? I get in a lot of trouble for this, but I really, you may say, well, I'm not that funny. Just look at them. Look at their mannerisms and how they use the mic and how they move. And I'm not saying you got to just be totally worldly and copy them, but can you think of anything else where somebody gets out for an hour and there's no, like, pole or band or, you know, flash pots or drummer, and they're there for an hour just talking. And people actually show up. Comedy's the only thing like that, right? Even politicians anymore, they don't speak to crowds. They speak to reporters reading off a teleprompter. Study the good stand-up comics. Sometimes you got to junk your notes if the Holy Spirit leads, and you got to get off your text, and you got to go down a rabbit trail. You may even be preaching and you say something and you sense resistance. You can sometimes tell if your church is smaller because you see it. Or people get ashamed and they look at the floor, you know, and you say, oh, I'm getting visual feedback here. Okay, I'm going to stop. I didn't mean to go here. Now, I know some of you are feeling ashamed. Some of you are feeling convicted. Some of you are feeling this. Some of you are feeling that. Look at me. I see you. You guys just said porno. And all you dudes that did this, you're into it. Now, look at me. Here, I know where you are. You know, and it's this combative thing where sometimes you're going to go down a rabbit trail that you weren't expecting, in part sometimes because of the feedback you're getting from your people. I mean, I was preaching one sermon and a lot of the women are crying. And it wasn't one of those yelling sermons, right? It was just talking about how women are saved through childbearing and how some women resist becoming mothers because they're fearful of trusting God with the life of another. And women are okay, I wasn't expecting this. Now I got to slow down as pastor and preacher, and I need to articulate this and explain this and build on this. And sometimes you got to deviate from your notes and don't feel guilty. A couple other things. Connect everything to your pulpit. Some of you are having a hard time getting your small groups ministry going because you don't find enough good Bible teachers. You don't necessarily need great Bible teachers. You need good facilitators, good discussion leaders, good people who love people and love Jesus. If you preach a sermon and then you have small group questions and all your small groups are coming around, going through the text that you went through on Sunday, talking about the implications, having a meal, prayer, accountability, clarifying questions, application, what does this mean? What does God have for us? You plug everything into your pulpit. They don't have to worry about training 100 great Bible teachers. You're probably not going to do that. But you can have people who are following your pulpit, and then your pulpit is leading the church. You can even plug your kids' ministry into it, and your sermon or topic, you can have your kids' ministry going through the same thing so that the whole family studying a book of the Bible together, they don't have a divided church where the women are studying one thing, men another, teens another, little kids another, sermon on Sunday, totally, totally divided family. Preach Jesus, I told you that. Learn from people, let them give you feedback. Not just the critics, but if people do have honest questions, listen. If people really do have critical feedback, listen. Don't automatically get defensive. Think about it, pray about it. Right after you preach, somebody comes up and disagrees, your first instinct is to get sort of angry. Don't. Now, it doesn't mean you agree with them, but don't go with your gut reaction, which is to be defensive. Also, don't give false humility to the heretics. If they're a heretic, don't listen. But if there's someone who has a complaint, a criticism, a concern, you said something, it wasn't clear, it'll help you get better. Give your sermons away, MP3, give them away, give them away, give them away, give them away. And lastly, sleep like a Calvinist after you preach. That's my last word. After you preached, God's sovereign, the Holy Spirit's at work, you did what you could, you can't take it back, don't do it next time, and sleep. Go to bed. For so many guys, they preach and then they obsess over that sermon. They listen to it 27,000 times. And they think, oh, I should have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I should have zipped up my fly. Oh my gosh. There was just so much that I would do different. Well, you know what? The key to preaching sometimes is being free and loose, being prayed up, studied up, motivated, passionate. And if you are overly obsessive, overly introverted, overly analytical, overly critical, you might get up there and be so fearful and timid of making a mistake that you lose your passion and courage. Okay? There are times that in passion and courage, I've crossed lines that I should not have crossed. That doesn't excuse them, but my other fear is to be so worried of getting close to the line that I'm so conservative and predictable and scripted that I become just another guy who you can pretty much guess in the opening sentence where the rest of it's going to go, and you could fill in the blanks for yourself because it's just as safe as could be. We don't want to be reckless, but at the same time, we don't want to be totally safe. We want to ride that line of courage and passion and forthrightness and clarity, knowing that we're not trying to cross any line. But what we are saying is that God is sovereign and the Spirit is at work. And that even if we don't do it perfect, God is good and He tends to draw straight lines with crooked sticks. And some of you have preached horrible sermons that change people's lives. And they come up to you and they say, when you said that, that changed my life. You're like, I never even said that. I don't even know what you're talking about. You're welcome. I am a pretty good preacher. Because that was a miracle, right? That was the Holy Spirit. How many of you have preached something and somebody, God used it, and you're like, I cannot believe that. So much of preaching comes down to the power of God's word being implemented by the work of God's Spirit. And I'm not saying we be reckless. I'm not saying that we're not studied up, we're not prayed up, we're not theological. I'm just saying when it's all said and done, you've got to trust God to take what you've done and use it as He wills. And to not kill yourself trying to be perfect. You're not. You're not. Paul says, when the imperfect passes away, then the perfect comes in 1 Corinthians 13. What's the imperfect in that context? Our ministry, including our pulpit. What's the perfect? The Lord Jesus Christ. We will have imperfect sermons and imperfect churches until the Lord Jesus comes. In the middle, we labor to present everyone perfect in Christ. We're trying to get better. We're trying to point people to Jesus. We're trying to see their lives change. But do not, particularly if you're a young new preacher, do not kill yourself because today you're not John Piper. Right? Love you guys. I'll pray. We'll break for lunch. We'll get some more time. You can read the rest for what it's worth. It's all free and you get what you pay for. Thanks for coming out. Father God, thank you for an opportunity to just talk on some angles about this great, wonderful gift of being a preacher and a teacher of your word. God, whether we do it expositorily or topically or textually, may we all point to Jesus as the hero. May we stay within the story of Scripture. May we preach the gospel and not morality. May we preach the gospel and not just the law. May we preach not just for the people that are in our church, but the whole city that we want to come to know you. May we not compromise and be seeker-sensitive, but may we be winsome and missional and seeker-intelligible. Lord Jesus, may we, by your grace, have passion in our hearts like Jonathan Edwards and go for the affections. May we have imaginations like Charles Spurgeon and also preach the images of the Bible. And Jesus, may you allow us to have transforming study in Scripture. May we be devastated when we discover who we are, and may we be resurrected when we discover who you are and what you've done. May we share that with love and passion and courage and boldness and gladness with those who would be so kind as to come and listen to us teach your word. And Jesus, may we lift you up. We know that if you are lifted up, you will draw everyone to yourself. May we make much of you. May we make you the hero of every sermon. May we make you the answer to every question. May we make you the hope for every longing. May we labor in preaching and teaching like Paul instructs us so that people would know you through your word, that we wouldn't be into faddish interpretations and trends, into cultural winds of doctrine. May we not fight over historical events. May we simply preach the word. May we find our authority in the scriptures, and may we use them to declare your person and work with clarity and simplicity and humility and courage. And God, I ask for my friends that you would send your spirit to anoint their preaching, including mine, so that we might do the best job that we possibly can. And may you receive glory, and may we receive joy, and may our people receive Christ. Amen. Thanks, guys.